Because in those situations, that is like re-traumatizing yourself. So if you're dealing with a situation like that, I really want you to listen to this because it's super important that you know you have a choice. And it is also part of your healing journey to be able to tell someone that this is not good for you. I can't be in that situation. You know, usually it's because the issue has not been addressed. Other family members think you can just show up and go with the flow and be okay with that. And that is not okay. Welcome to the Mama Shrink Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cynthia Hauver, licensed psychologist, certified coach, and Gen X mama of two amazing boys. My belief, you can't be an awesome mama unless you're taking care of yourself first. And that's exactly why I created Mama Shrink. You'll get my 20 plus years of experience combined with some very real life struggles. And together we'll unpack the mental health, the physical health, even spiritual health, to get you loving your mama life again. Listen, these kids of ours, they're only young once, and it goes by so fast, and you're never, ever gonna get this time back. We must learn to enjoy this wild ride of parenting. So, if you're up for it, mama, let's do this. Hey, mamas, before we jump into today's episode, I just want to remind you that although I am a licensed psychologist, I'm not serving here as your psychologist. This podcast is not a substitute for direct mental health care. If you're struggling with a mental health issue of any kind, please reach out to a licensed professional. You can also contact the National Suicide Crisis Line by calling or texting 988. There's no shame in having a mental health issue, and it should always be taken seriously. Welcome back to another episode of the Mama Shrink Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cynthia Hauver, licensed psychologist, certified coach, and I'm going to jump right into the topic of today's episode, which is deciding what you want to do in your best interest for yourself for the holidays. I have been wanting to record something on this because I see this so much in my work with clients. In my years of experience, you know, all of the stuff surrounding the upcoming holidays usually starts around the beginning, middle of October. After Halloween, it really starts to spike because then everyone's thinking about Thanksgiving, and then it goes into Christmas or Hanukkah, and then, you know, we have the New Year and New Year celebrations, and it is just filled with stress for people. Now, I think I learned something really interesting. I think we all did during the pandemic. But as a psychologist, it was so interesting in 2020 when we were in the midst of the pandemic and we literally had people discouraging holiday get-togethers, right? And during that time period, I noticed such relief, and I would say about 95% of my clients, because there was no discussion of spending time with family or all of the stuff that comes with it because we couldn't, you know, we weren't. So it really did just kind of change the whole dynamic for all of the people I worked with, and I'm sure for so many around the world. And since that time, you know, I feel like there has been a shift where people had that break, that almost like, I don't have to do this, or I'm not able to do this. And now there's kind of a trend of people thinking more about, why am I doing this? Why would I put myself in a situation to be around family, extended family, you know, even friends, perhaps, that you feel obligated to be around when you're not going to enjoy it. And all the things that lead up to it are just a lot for people. So we're going to go over today three different options that you have when making a decision for the holiday. So there's really, it boils down to having three choices. So you can not go, you can limit how long you're going to stay, or you just go and you find a way to deal with it. And I will address each of these. So I'm not encouraging, well, I am encouraging people to do what they truly want to do. That's my hope for you in this episode. Don't do what you think you should do. My goal of creating this podcast is to really get you thinking about what's in touch with your authentic self, what your inner self really needs, desires, and in your best interest, and then make your choice from there. And giving you permission, perhaps, to think outside the box a little bit. Because, you know, we grew up, well, I did, you know, with, you know, my mom was a baby boomer. My great grandparents helped raise me. They were part of, you know, the great generation. Like, it was very important that family got together to celebrate the holidays. And when I look back on holiday pictures and home movies, and thank God for my uncle because he was great at always taking, you know, videos and movies on, you know, an old time movie camera and having them put on DVD so I can still see them. And then I kind of took over when I was around 20 because I got really into doing video and making videos. And so I have a lot of videos that I got put on to a digital platform. And when my mom passed away, this is going to sound really grim, but I mean, it was part of my grieving process. Like, I literally spent Thanksgiving of 2021, like, watching those old movies. And through my grief, when I was really paying attention, and I had always known this, it was not a secret around the holidays that, you know, it was going to cause stress. But I started looking back through all these pictures and movies, and I was like, wow, no one really seemed to have a very good time. I mean, people were fighting over, you know, who is going to make the turkey gravy and stressed out about the place settings being in a certain way. And my Grandma Mary, my mom's mom, you know, like, she would be out in the kitchen. Everyone would be fighting. My uncle would be sitting there saying something like, you know, I don't know what's wrong with the women in this family. And I politely said, please do not include me in that. I'm trying my best to stay out of that. But hands down, it was just so much stress. And then we're supposed to sit around this table and do a toast and enjoy this meal for, what, 10 minutes? And then before you know it, everyone's like, you know, having to clean up the whole thing. I mean, I always thought, this is so exhausting. Why are we doing it? And a couple times in grad school, I was not able to travel back home. So I was out in Ohio for my doctoral program, and I couldn't make it on one Thanksgiving and also on one Christmas. And I really realized, like, wow, that was, you know, I missed, you know, certain people greatly, like my uncle and my great grandma and my mom. But I was really thrilled that I didn't have to participate in the drama. And I remember calling home and, you know, saying hello. And then I was having Thanksgiving at my little house that I was running out there and having some friends over. And we had a great time. It was like one of the best Thanksgivings. So I was kind of thinking about this a long time ago. But, you know, as I've developed more for myself, I realize that, you know, we can very easily fall into those traditions, usually because of guilt and responsibility. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But I want you to really feel like you have a choice. We are adults and we have a choice. It may disappoint people. It may not thrill them. But really, I want to encourage this for my listeners who have suffered any type of trauma. I've had clients over the years really be so in just off their game for months because they are looking at Thanksgiving coming up or Christmas and wondering how they're going to be around a certain family member because they were abused by that family member as a child. And that caused so much stress and anxiety. And really having to work with those people, I've had various clients where this has been the situation. I'm being able to honor themselves and be able not to go there. Because in those situations, that is like re-traumatizing yourself. So if you're dealing with a situation like that, I really want you to listen to this because it's super important that you know you have a choice. And it is also part of your healing journey to be able to tell someone that this is not good for you. I can't be in that situation. You know, usually it's because the issue has not been addressed. Other family members think you can just show up and go with the flow and be okay with that. And that is not okay. It is not okay. So before I dive into some tips and tricks on how to deal with all this, I just want you to think about this statistic that I came up with. So I was sitting thinking about, we start thinking about the holidays, usually around, like I said, beginning mid-October. Then we go all through November. Then we go through December. And then around January, everyone's done with the holidays. And then what I see is this usually like backlog of emotions or depression or anxiety that starts, you know, just releasing. It's almost like everyone keeps it all together. And then in January, it's like all pouring out, rightly so. If you think about that, that is 4 months out of the year. So that is 1/4 of your life every year spent on holiday stress. That's 123 days a year that we are spending worrying about the holidays, and they are one day. So we have to stop this. We have to. That is so much of our lives. You multiply that by how long you expect for yourself to live, and that is just too much time for us to be spending worrying about 1 or 2 days out of the year. Like I said, if you have a great relationship with your family, then holidays are great, right? It's like, yeah, let's all get together and do this. This is fantastic. But if they're not, I'm going to try and help you come up with some ideas and some ways to deal with your own feelings around setting boundaries and possibly saying no and deciding not to go. So, let's first talk about if you decide in your heart that you do not want to go and spend a holiday with your family. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to try and tell them in advance. Well, you have to tell them in advance. The sooner the better. And as soon as you know, maybe you're listening to this episode, it's supposed to air the first Tuesday in November. You can take some of the tools I'm going to teach you today and let whoever's in charge of planning Thanksgiving in your family, let them know of your decision that you're not going to attend. Because we want to be able to prepare people. We don't want to save it to the last minute, although I do have a little sneaky idea if that's how you want to do it. But we'll talk about that at the end. So just, you know, saying in a very kind way that you've decided that this year you're going to do Thanksgiving, you know, maybe it's just with your kids, or we're just going to do Thanksgiving with the immediate family. So once you say that, you want to make sure that you also validate that this might be difficult for them to hear. So you could say something like, I know we always spend Thanksgiving together with the whole family, but this year I've really made the decision that it's a lot on me and we're just going to spend it with our immediate family, or we're just going to spend it together with the kids, whatever that may be, and leave it at that. You don't want to leave it open-ended. You don't want to tack on the end of it. So what do you think? Because once you do that, you're inviting in someone to give their opinion. Now, they may give their opinion anyway, but you don't want to present it in a way that this is up for negotiation. So it really you want it to be a statement and not anything that could be open-ended. I suggest writing it down before you make that call or however you communicate with your family, because when you're in that situation, it can really feel uncomfortable, and you want to be able to say exactly what you planned on saying. And, you know, when you hear someone's tone of voice, it can be very easy to shift off topic and go to what you think they want to hear. So write it down for yourself, be very firm. You can practice it in advance and pick up the phone and call them and tell them. Based on some type of family dysfunction going on, you know, you could say something like, emotionally, I just don't have it in me to be around Uncle Billy for the holidays, especially when he starts drinking. It's just too much for me. You could say, you know, I hope that you will support me in my decision on this. This was a really hard, you know, decision for me to make. Trying to really convey that it's not you not putting some thought into it goes a long way, because it's showing the other person that you really do care about their feelings, but you also have to focus on what's best for you. The second thing is you can start to bring up some alternatives. You know, you could say, maybe we could do a FaceTime call or a Zoom call while everyone's at the house so we can all, you know, say happy Thanksgiving to each other or see each other. Or, you know, if your family doesn't do that, you could say, I can call at this particular time so I could say hello to people. That's fine. You know, you're also offering kindness and some type of connection that's an alternative. And we have the technology to do these things now, so why not use them? Validate their own feelings while still sticking to your own. So if you get met with disappointment or some type of guilt, like, why would you do this to us? Or, you know, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, you have to come. Just take a few deep breaths and realize that this is coming from their own stuff. And you can simply say, I understand that this is disappointing to you, and I know how much you like Thanksgiving, but I hope that you'll respect my decision to not come. This was really difficult for me. And you might have to repeat that a few times. You might have to say the same thing multiple times, no matter what's coming at you. You know, stick to your core message. And if you find yourself getting stressed about the response, I would take a few deep breaths. I would visualize something that makes you feel calm and just stick to your message. And you can also say something like, you know, I want to start making traditions with my kids. You know, I want to do something different from the holidays. Or I find that the idea of, you know, everyone sitting around and eating too much food and watching football or whatever people do, it's just not that much fun anymore. Or that's not what I want my kids to have for their Thanksgiving tradition. So, you know, I've seen some pretty ugly things come out of this when people try to stick up for themselves and say things about what they want to do for Thanksgiving.
I've had people say, how could you not bring my grandchildren to Thanksgiving? And why would you do this? Or you're going to ruin the whole family tradition. I mean, that's a lot to put on a person. And the whole time, I always tell my clients, this is coming from their brokenness. Something in them is broken and they need you to be there, or they're sad you're not going to come. Or perhaps, which is often still common when we're adults, you know, they need you to be in that family unit to serve as the role that you've always played in the family. So if you're the peacemaker in the family, then, you know, it's going to be hard without you there. If you're the one that's funny, you know, what are they going to do when you're not cracking jokes or making light of a heavy situation? So sometimes this is fueled on the other person's part of their own unmet needs. And although that does bring out a lot of emotion for you and the other person, that's not your job to keep filling those roles that you always had to play as a child. You know, and part of becoming an adult is we do have choices and we get to make that decision. Hard decisions, yes, but still get to make that decision. And I just want you to keep that in mind if you are deciding that you do not want to participate in family events around the holiday. To be hosting the event, or you usually do host the event, it's okay to say, you know, as long as you're doing this in advance, you know, I really realize that hosting Thanksgiving is too much for me. Could, you know, you do it this year? Could grandma do it this year? Could dad do it this year? You know, it's okay if you decide I still want to participate, but you know that all the preparation and having all the people at your house may be too stressful, then suggest it moves to someone else's house. That's okay too. But again, going back to if you want to truly do it, not because you feel obligated to do it. And before I move into the middle ground piece of some ideas on, you know, what's an alternative to going completely or saying no completely, you know, we can work in the middle. But I just want to discuss why we tend to still participate in things that we don't want to participate in. And I think it really goes back to guilt. You know, and I could do a whole podcast episode, and I will do a whole podcast episode on guilt because it's such a driving emotion, especially for women and especially for moms. But just remember that, you know, we tend to say yes to things we don't want to because of guilt. And that comes from, you know, our core sense of people pleasing, our fear of rejection. It can come from social expectations that we're supposed to do certain things. It could be that we are extremely empathetic and we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. It could be because we have low self-worth and put our own needs second to that of someone else's. We can have unrealistic standards. So this idea that we have to have this perfect holiday and do all these things because, you know, we have been completely influenced by society over the years. You know, at one time it was with magazines and commercials, but the whole Norman Rockwell syndrome and, you know, the Waltons and, you know, and I still watch the Waltons Thanksgiving. And, you know, there's always that secret little girl part of me that's like, wow, I wish I had that really big family like the Waltons. But I realized the key to that big family, well, first, it's TV. Second, it's they liked each other, right? Like if you look at like those shows, it's like, okay, but they also spent, you know, most other days together too and enjoyed each other's company. So now as an adult, I look at it and think, yeah, okay. And now I'm starting to look at things like that and think, well, how can I create that without a family, right? Like how do I do that without having any family in my life? Because that's my situation with my own kids? Or, you know, do I bring friends into it or whatever? But, you know, it's still creating a get together and a gathering that's happy, but, you know, not with these unrealistic standards that simply don't exist. But when we see those, we believe it. And now we live in the era of social media where, you know, everyone's posting the happy, you know, Thanksgiving pictures. And, you know, as soon as that picture's taken, everyone could go back to being miserable and not very happy. So we have to remember that, right? Like, there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and it's, don't take things just at face value, because that's usually not the reality. And also, you know, we tend to agree to do the holidays if we don't want to, because we don't have good boundaries in place. And setting good boundaries is a process. It's a hard process. It's a total worthy process. And you heard me talk about this in my episode on setting boundaries, but I have worked for years on setting boundaries. And really, up until this year, this past year, like, my boundaries are in place, you know, and I have said this before, like, I don't do things usually, you know, there's always the exception, but for the most part, like, I operate in, I'm doing things because they're important, they have to be done, or I really want to, all the time, especially with my personal free time. So really think about boundaries and how important they are. And your family is not going to set those for you. You're going to have to be the one to do that. And be kind to yourself. And, you know, realize that you're making this choice for yourself. Perhaps you're making this choice for your children. Perhaps, you know, when you get together with your family, you turn into that young kid that, you know, you're like, what just happened to me? I mean, that happens to all of us when we get placed back in our family. It's like we regress. And you don't even like who you're becoming when you're around them. And then your children are seeing you that way. And that's not what you want to teach them. So we really have to think the whole thing through, you know, and obviously, you know, if you decide to go, we're going to jump into that in a few minutes of how do you handle that? Say, you know, your kids really want to go, you're really not that into it, but your kids really love grandma and grandpa or Aunt Sally or Uncle Billy or whoever it is, their cousins. And you're like, okay, this is for my kids. I'm going to go and I'm going to suck it up and do it. If that's the case, I have some tips and tricks for that one too. But be honest, if it's really that, or if this is more about you doing it out of obligation, because I'm going to remind you that 25% of your year, one quarter of your whole year, if you're not really enjoying this, is spent dealing with this stress. Limit how long you go. This is pretty easy and straightforward. So if you don't want to say absolutely yes, and you don't want to say absolutely no, you could, if you live close by, obviously some people, you know, travel from all over on Thanksgiving. I mean, we know that Thanksgiving travel is the biggest travel season of the year. And that's a whole other thing to consider too. You know, the stress of the travel, is it worth it? I mean, because let's face it, like, travel on airplanes right now. I mean, I still travel, but it's rough sometimes with, you know, the not rough. I mean, you know, you have to expect delays and things like that, but like people's anger and, you know, the way people are behaving, and you add that to the busiest time of the year in an airport, like if that's not your cup of tea, that could be your excuse. That could, you know, you could say to your family, I'm sorry, but I cannot deal with, you know, that stress right now in my life. That's okay, because that's a real thing. But if you do live closer by and you're able to stop in, you could say, why don't we stop by for dessert? Or why don't we come over and have hors d'oeuvres? And we're, you know, going to stay for an hour, say hello, and then we're going to go back home. This could be good too if you feel like you're stretched between two different families, and maybe there's one that you really would enjoy spending a lot of time with and another that you wouldn't. But know that if you make this compromise and just do that, this little period of time can really make or break your holiday, because I've seen people make that decision and they're still just as worried leading up to that event as they would be if they decided not, you know, if they were going to go and spend the whole day. So you really have to look at, did that decrease my stress when I thought of the idea to compromise and be somewhere in the middle? And if it doesn't, then don't do it, because it could end up being just as stressful for you to put that limitation on it as it would be if you were to just go and participate in the whole event, because you're still going to be around those people. And sometimes it might be worse, because especially if you're going even, you know, before or after, if you go before, it may be, well, I can't believe you're not staying. And then wherever you're going after isn't going to feel very good because you have all that on your mind. Or if you come later, you know, let's face it, holidays and Thanksgiving is the number one drinking day of the year. People by that time could be very intoxicated, not at their best self. You could have missed the whole breakout fight that could have happened before you got there and dragged into it. So it may seem tempting to just stop by, but remember, you're kind of going to go in a little glimpse of this, and there probably will be a comment or two made on, oh, well, you missed all this, or, oh, you're not going to stick around for XYZ. So really think about that decision. Because it may sound tempting to compromise, but it can bring with it the same amount of drama, or it could almost be worse than if you just decided, okay, I'm just going to go and push through this. So let's go to that choice. Let's say you decide, okay, I'm going to suck it up and go to the family gathering for Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. You're going to go and you're going to do it. So what I want you to do is take some time before you go and really focus on the fact that no matter what happens, you can control your response. And it may feel really hard, and it is going to be really hard, but really focus on, no matter what anyone says, you have the choice on how you're going to respond. And I think Tony Robbins had said it once. He says it much more eloquently than I can, but he said something about, it's not the event that determines how we feel. It's the meaning that we associate with that event. So that's really powerful. I'm going to say it again. It's not the event that determines how we feel. It's the meaning we associate with the event. So when you are going into the event and you're taking this time for yourself, think about, what meaning am I giving to this event? And I really want you to lower your expectations for the event. So already knowing in your mind what could happen, and just peacefully, like, as you're taking, you know, some really nice deep breaths and visualizing what could possibly happen, just saying to yourself, okay, I know that can happen. What will I do when that happens? So not if, when. If it ends up not happening, fine. But if it does, or when it does, you are prepared. So I'm going to give you some ideas about what are some things in a moment when things can get a little dicey and you need to take care of yourself. But you need to start that day by really prepping. Now, I know that, I don't know if this is still true, but the Wednesday before Thanksgiving was always like a notorious night for everyone going out and partying before Thanksgiving. I don't know if that's because everyone wants to be hungover while they're hanging out with their family, or, you know, we just miss people and we're, you know, get a little indulgent. But the bottom line is, you know, when we're over drinking, and I have been guilty of this myself, you know, things don't go well. So I would advise, like, the night before, you know, going in with a clear head, feeling at your best self so you know you can manage the situation. And also when you go to the event, to limit your alcohol intake or not drink, because we may have good intentions of how we're going to deal with other people. But when we mix alcohol into the situation, sometimes that doesn't go very well. So that's just something to consider. But you want to go in to this situation, you know, having your boundaries clearly in place. So saying to yourself, what am I willing to accept and what am I not willing to accept? So if some ugly political discussion gets brought up at the table and, you know, you're going to make a commitment to yourself to say, I'm sorry, it's Thanksgiving. I really don't want to engage in politics. That's it. You don't have to explain. Make it a statement. Don't leave any room for negotiation. I'm just not going to discuss politics over Thanksgiving dinner. That's it. You don't have to have an explanation. If someone says why, you could just say, it's my personal preference. It usually doesn't go well. I will not discuss it. That's all. End of story. Like, let it go. If the people at the other end of the table or around you want to keep discussing it, you can just sit there in silence. And if things are coming out of people's mouths that you cannot believe, just go to a happy place in your mind and just think to yourself, this will all be over soon. I can get through this. I've done hard things. I always say that one to myself. I can do hard things. I can get through this. I'm going to choose not to listen to it. Maybe there's a little kid at the table and you can choose to engage with them, or go sit at the kid's table. I've done that before. It's so much more fun, right? Like, go whatever you need to do to protect your energy. And I really want you to envision almost like a protective bubble around you when you walk into that room. So almost like whatever, you know, your favorite color is, I always envision like this whitish purple bubble around my body, the outer part of my body, protecting me. And I'm going to let what anyone says to me kind of bounce off that bubble. Just boop. And it may sound silly, but it really does work. And know that no matter what you say with someone who wants to engage in a fight or create some kind of conflict, they're not going to change their mind, and they're really not going to change their mind on a holiday. And you're going to end up carrying all that emotion, and they want you to engage. So you have power by not engaging. That is your power. And I want you to say that to yourself. I do not have to engage. That is my choice. Stay calm. Right? In which, if people are not getting along, there's too much alcohol, people are, you know, starting to go at each other, things are happening, just stay calm, you know, focus on your kids, go talk to your kids. If things start getting really like uncomfortable for you, get up and excuse yourself and go to the bathroom and cry for a little bit if you need to. Get that out of your body. Anyone can go to the bathroom during dinner. Right? So don't sit there. Even if you don't have to go to the bathroom, get up and excuse yourself. Take some breaths, you know, let out some emotion in there if you have to. You splash some water on your face. Tell yourself you're going to be okay. This is all going to be over very soon, you know, and you can make your decision for what you're going to do next year. But just get yourself through that moment and be kind to yourself and get up and leave the room. Make the conversation about the other person if you don't really want people asking you questions. So you could come in with an idea of a list of questions that you have for your mom, your dad, your uncle, your aunt, your cousins, you know, nieces, nephews, whoever you spend time with. Go in with all those and keep it focused on them. And, you know, if they ask you things, you can certainly answer, but you can try and bring the focus back onto them. If you feel like no matter when I share, no one's really validating that or it tends not to go well, then be the person that people can talk to and keep it off of yourself so you don't have to share as much. Don't engage in blaming of who's starting a fight. always use I statements. So you can say, I'm feeling really uncomfortable with this conversation right now, or I don't really want to discuss that. That's it. You don't have to keep explaining. You know, I think as humans, we want to explain because we feel guilty and we feel like we have to justify why we're saying we don't want to engage. And a simple I statement of, I don't feel like I want to talk about that, or I'm not willing to discuss this at Thanksgiving. Done. End of story. If you can take breaks before the meal, after the meal, do it. If someone there has a dog, my favorite thing to do, or used to be able to do, is go out for a Thanksgiving walk with my dog and just get out of the house and get some fresh air. And even if you don't have an animal, I always just say, hey, I love to go for a nice little walk on Thanksgiving. And you don't have to ask anyone to go. If there's someone there that you particularly feel really comfortable with in your family, you could ask them to go. You could ask one of the kids to go, you know, but get out of the house and get some fresh air. And even if you're unable to get out and walk, then, you know, just step outside for a moment. Like getting some fresh air and taking some deep breaths, it seems so simple, and it is simple, but we often tend not to do it, and it really helps, you know, and it only takes a minute. And, you know, if you're a mom of 51 like me, you know, you could be like, ooh, I'm having a hot flash. I need to get some air, you know, and just make a joke about it. But it really does help. Avoid any negative triggers. So if you know that Uncle Bill tends to overdrink at Thanksgiving and makes horrible statements, then ask whoever's putting on Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever it is, please don't sit me next to that person, or be the last person to sit down if you can, or perhaps tell, you know, your partner or your children in advance, like, hey, you know, I want you to sit next to me. Try to keep space between you and Uncle Billy, who's going to be, you know, talking the storm up about stuff. If you need to, you know, get out of a room, you know, say, oh, I'm going to go offer to help someone with this. Try to just keep as much distance as possible. Don't feel like, oh, I have to sit there and engage with Uncle Billy. No, you don't. You know, you can say hi to him when you walk in and goodbye when you leave. Stay solution focused. So, you know, if everyone's, you know, talking about who's going to make what, you're feeling overwhelmed about doing all the cooking, be solution focused. Prep in advance. Ask everyone to bring a dish. I always was hosting Thanksgiving after my uncle passed away, and I would put so much on myself to make all the dishes because that's what we always did in my family. And I really look back now and wish, like, why wasn't I okay saying, yes, you bring this, you bring that, you bring that. And I know it came back to my people pleasing. Like, I wanted to host the most spectacular Thanksgiving and have my kids, you know, see that and enjoy it. But guess what happened? I was usually so exhausted, so depleted leading up to it, getting up and cooking the whole thing, probably not in the best mood at times, which wasn't good for my kids, and then cleaning it all up, and then even afterwards having to like do, I would often want to do friends Thanksgiving, but even I realized that was exhausting because I was still reheating all the food and all the, it was just so tiring and so much money. And I would end up, you know, usually being okay throughout the day, definitely drinking too much wine, not feeling great the next day. I mean, the whole thing, I look back and think this was just crazy. And I'm talking only a few years ago. So again, work in progress. And that's why I want to share this with you, because it's so easy to just say, oh, you know, Thanksgiving's coming. Of course, I'm going to have everyone over and do all the things. And I'm going to share a little personal thing with you about how I really do set boundaries and walk the walk towards the end here. I'm almost wrapping up. So forgive and let go. You know, if someone says something stupid, I get wanting to stick up for it. And unless it's really outrageous, like I don't know. For me, it would be like someone making a racial comment about my children. I mean, that would be grounds for, okay, we're out of here. But if it's, you know, just people who don't have boundaries, like, oh, you know, did you put on some weight? Or you look real tired? Or why are you doing that thing with your business? Or, oh, you still working? Just say, oh my goodness, they must not be very happy with themselves to be pointing this out, and let it go. Let it go. I know it's very hard. Try to stay positive, you know, put in your phone some things that are good reminders of why you're such an awesome person, why you're such a great mom or a great friend. Or, you know, if you need to, text a friend, prepare in advance and say, hey, I may need you to just check your text messages because I may need a little pick me up at around 2 o'clock in the afternoon after we eat dinner. You know, like friends are the best for that. So just asking for that, because no one's a mind reader. But if you say to a friend, like I would certainly do this for any friend that asks me, like, hey, you know, I'm going to have to be around Uncle Billy in about 2 hours. Can I text you if I'm going crazy? And, you know, just making light of it, because when you remove yourself a little bit and you can poke fun at it and have some humor, you realize they're not going to get to you because you're not going to change this person. No one's going to change unless they want to. So what you see is what you get. And you have to go in with that realistic expectation to know, why would I think I could change this person, and just go with the flow. No one's going to change that day. You just have to accept what is. And be patient. You know, again, deep breaths. You can do a little tapping under the table on your, you know, meridian points, just telling yourself, you know, this too shall pass soon. And try to surround yourself with someone that you really do enjoy. And sometimes, you know, like I've been at family events where the people that I end up spending the time with are usually my children. And we're like in our own little circle. And then I think to myself, why am I even here? But spend time with who you want to and don't feel bad about that. And you know, whatever is comfortable for you, like for me, I always would rather be watching the football game than in the kitchen, because I knew the kitchen was like a minefield. When I hosted it at my own house and I was the one cooking, after 1 year of doing it, the second year, I made a really firm rule that I'm the only one allowed in the kitchen. And then I would make a point to say, you know, my mom could come and help me make the gravy like my grandma used to do. Just kind of putting up the boundary of other people being in your business, especially people who like want to take over and run your kitchen. Like, if that's your holiday and you enjoy it, tell people to stay out of the kitchen. Or you can say, I really appreciate you offering to help. I'll let you know if I need anything. But what you can really do is, you know, make sure the kids are having a good time. Or, you know, make sure no one out in the other room needs anything. You know, like, and if they come back and they try to, you know, step into your space, which it can absolutely happen, you could say, no, I really want to do the meal myself. It gets me a little stressed when everyone's in here doing it with me. I'm sorry, like, you know, could you do this? Or, you know, why don't you sit over there and have a glass of wine and talk to me? You know, whatever I can do to kind of keep making that point across. And it does work. It takes practice and patience. But I found when I didn't do this, then I was like fuming at the ears, completely stressed out, and like, why are they in my business? Why don't they stay out of my kitchen? And it's like, because they're not going to. This is what they do. They're in people's space. They don't get boundaries, and you're going to have to tell them. And I realized that I did it, and it tended to work. I might have had to say it 5 times, but it did work. I finally got to the point where I let people, I was like, okay, yeah, you can clean up the dishes. Like, I would feel guilty at first when people offered. And then I started saying, yeah, that would be great. Thank you. So it's okay, right, to set these boundaries and go back to nurturing yourself, be kind to yourself, and really saying, if I'm going to be in this place, I might as well enjoy it. in any way I can, and I will not tolerate people treating me badly. And if these things are not like, if you're not listening to this going like, oh yeah, I could totally do that, then you probably should consider not participating. Because if you're like, oh no, that will never happen, that would never work, you know, Aunt Betty would be over there saying this, this, and this, great, then that's fine. Maybe it's time to decide you're not ready to go, and that's okay. And I will say that if all else fails, and people would probably disagree with me about this, but, you know, I'm looking at your mental health and your well-being. And I always tell clients it's perfectly acceptable to suddenly be sick the day of Thanksgiving. People get sick. You may be sick the day of Christmas and you can't make it to your family's house. That's okay. You could have a beautiful, quiet day in your bed. So it's okay to be sick. Probably not the best way to handle it in the long term. But if you're in a bind, if maybe you agreed to do something and you're now regretting, like, oh my gosh, why did I say yes? Then it's okay not to feel well and you can't make it. And I just want to end this episode by sharing, like, I don't just say this stuff and not walk the walk. You know, if you follow me at all, I think you will realize that integrity is really important to me. And I share to help you. I share because I've been in hard, hard situations throughout my life. And I want to help other people not be in those same situations. So last year at Thanksgiving time and Christmas, you know, I was still dealing with the loss of my mom. Very hard, hard holidays. The first one being in 2020 because she passed on December 5th and it was Christmas the 25th. I had my son's birthday, lots of stuff that year. And that one, it was almost like it was in the middle of COVID. No one was doing anything. So in some ways, it was, I guess I would say, easier because there was no expectation. But in 2021, I can't even remember what happened in the Christmas of 2021. I think I had my in-laws. I can't remember. But then in last Christmas and Thanksgiving, I had been disconnected from my niece, my sister's daughter, for years. And it's a big issue that I won't completely divulge because for the sake of other people. But it was really hard to reconnect with her and to trust her again and to let her into my, not just my life, but my kids' life. And I decided that I was going to. And we met before Thanksgiving. And we sat down at Applebee's and we said, okay, if we're going to really work on this relationship, and she has two little girls, and if we are going to do this, we're going to do it in a healthy way and agree that we're going to try and make this work. And when someone sits and tells me that, you know, I take that seriously. So I had not been talking to my sister and my niece had not been talking to her mother. And we decided that we were going to do Thanksgiving at my house. So, you know, it was actually honestly one of the nicest Thanksgivings I've ever had. My niece came and my grandnieces came, and one of them I got to meet for the first time, and just beautiful, beautiful souls. And we had such a nice Thanksgiving. It was so normal. We laughed. We cooked together. The boys had fun. Such a wonderful day. So we decided, you know, to do it for Christmas. And they came for Christmas. And again, no fighting, no chaos, no nothing. It was a beautiful holiday. Beautiful. Despite, you know, not having my mom and the sadness there. And in the course of the year, you know, after we got together for the holidays, because we had reunited, you know, probably around this time last year. And then there started to be this whole dynamic that was starting to take place. And it's a big problem in my family with the lending money and asking for money. And I don't mind helping people out, but when I feel like I'm being taken advantage of, and, you know, really having some uncomfortable feelings come up for myself of, would she want to be part of my life if I didn't have money to give her, to let her keep borrowing money. And then she was doing stuff with this money that I really wasn't okay with. It didn't feel good to me. And I was already cautious because of everything that's happened in my family. So I confronted her about it. And finally, after, you know, $4,000, I said, you know, I'm just really feeling hurt. And I feel kind of taken advantage of. And until this money gets paid back, I don't feel like I can have a relationship with you because it doesn't feel good to me. And I was told, oh my gosh, that's not true, all the stuff. And yet, no money has been paid back, right? So now this year, I'm not going to do Thanksgiving. And I'm, you know, hurt because my kids, you know, I was very reluctant because of things that have happened to them in their past with family situations of introducing them to people and having them taken out of their life. And I'm open and honest with my kids about what happened. I had to be. They're old enough now to somewhat understand. And, you know, I had to say, like, you know, this became about money. It doesn't feel good to me. I just want a family that is wanting to be around just because. And that's not what's happening. So this year, I still don't know what we're going to do for Thanksgiving or Christmas. I have no idea. My son has a baseball tournament coming up the weekend after Thanksgiving down in Hershey. So I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe we'll go to the Hershey Motor Lodge. I don't know. Whatever. But, you know, but I'm explaining and teaching my kids this value. And that's what I want for all the moms out there. We are teaching the next generation how to be treated. And this is super important. So I say this with love and integrity. I share my story because I want it to help you to know that making these decisions is not easy. It can hurt. It can feel painful. It can bring up some really uncomfortable emotions. But what feelings do you carry around when you continue to do things and to teach our children that we say one thing and we do another? That's not acting out of integrity. And so whenever I struggle, I always think to myself, what do I want to teach my boys? And what I want to teach my boys is to be loved and to be cared for and be around people who love them, for their company, not for what you can give to someone or to be a punching bag to someone or to tolerate being around people who aren't nice or kind. That family is fun, enjoyable, is for laughter. It's for making memories in whichever way is possible, you know, if it's a big family or a small family. And that's what family is. And I hope that as I age and they become older and they have their own family, that they'll want me to be at Thanksgiving, you know, that we will still enjoy each other's company and get that, you know, 5% of the population who actually do enjoy being around each other. But I can't expect that from them if I don't give that to them and if I don't teach them that. So I know this was a long episode, but it's so important, moms. It's so important. We spend 25% each year, 4 months out of 12, focusing on this. So we have to take care of ourselves. We have to stop this. We have to stop doing these things for other people and depleting ourselves and not honoring our own souls. So I hope this serves you. If you want to share anything about your family drama, feel free to drop me a line at drcynthia@mamashrink.com, and I will keep it private. Love to hear from people listening. And if you like this podcast, please, please leave a review. They really do help. And share it with a friend. If you have a friend out there who is struggling with this, tell them to listen, and I hope I can help. So until next week, keep taking care of yourself. Bye, Mama. Thank you so much for listening. And I have some good news. I just created a Facebook group exclusively for us moms over 40 who are in the midst of parenting. If it sounds like something you're interested in, we would love to have you over there. You can find it at Facebook groups/Dr. Cynthia Midlife Mamas. That's Dr. Cynthia Midlife Mamas. If you like this podcast, we're going to go deep on all these conversations with a group of women who are parenting at midlife, and we'll also get your journey. I'm so excited to have this. So until next time, remember, self-care is not selfish. It's essential.